Kent, one of the benefits that we have as a listening community right now is we're speaking with a man who has not only written about the refugee and immigrant experience, but you have actually spent time experiencing it by having spent time with immigrants and having spent time with refugees. I was wondering if you could share with us one or two of the experiences that you've had with immigrants, and so that we can just begin to receive a more complete picture of what that is really about.
Yes, for sure. So one friend is immigrated from Haiti, because I worked in Haiti. It's been interesting to know people in the country of Haiti, but then people who are here, and I have one friend named Gustav, who came actually after the earthquake, and his son was diagnosed with cancer. His son was only about the same age as my daughter at the time. I think his son was about 4 years old and had this devastating cancer diagnosis. And people in Arizona took him in, and so he moved there and has been so grateful. And his son got this incredible care and is still alive now and doing well these many years later. But I think one thing that's amazing is he had a little bit of English when he moved over and had children that came across in these trying circumstances. Then Gustav texted me, I can't remember how long ago, maybe 6 months ago, and he did the same thing about 4 years ago, and texted me when he received an Employee of the Month kind of prize recognition from his company, and he works in a hotel, and this one, he might have been Employee of the Year, and I think he even got flown to, visit one of their other hotel sites somewhere else. And I just thought, oh, here's someone who came in, had almost nothing, working from scratch. And I think probably many of us know someone like this, and, just hard work and doing jobs that, many Americans would not be their first job of choice that they're doing. And he just kept on working and working, and is now providing for his children and his oldest daughter, came in probably elementary or junior high, is now at the community college, and he's winning Employee of the Month and just grinding away, as part of our community. And I think for many of us to know people like that who don't get special recognition but fit right in with the community, do a kind of extra hard work, as you were saying before the break, of leaving so much behind and making that, it's hard for us to think about even moving across the city, as you were saying, or just the discomfort that comes from change and everything being new. And so to think about someone like Gustav coming across and having everything be new, and then just to keep on persisting through it and become such a good hard worker and contributor to his company and to his community, I think is inspiring. And I think there are thousands, tens of thousands of examples like that. And then I also think of someone, this is one of the controversial topics around immigration, but I tell a story in my book, You Welcomed Me, of a church in California who was kind of, they're wrestling as a church with, what side should we be on? And thinking about the political implications of these decisions. And they had someone who'd been brought over as a child, wasn't his own choice to come across the border as an immigrant. And his family wasn't documented, so he's not documented. But again, he was a minor when he was brought across, so not his own choice. He's under that category you can hear people talk about as dreamers or DACA recipients sometimes. And, made his way up to go to college, and the pastor invited him and thought, kind of what you were just saying right before the break, too, and saying, let's make this issue personal. It doesn't mean all the decisions get easy or the policy's all super clear, and it doesn't mean we won't still have debates, but let's think about people as people. And so he had to hit this recipient stand up and sort of share his story in church. And the pastor told me he was standing in the back and he was nervous, not knowing how the church would respond. And they just responded with rousing applause, for seeing this young man who had made this journey of courage and making his way and not always being welcome, but being such a good contributor to the community. And I think it really shifted the direction of the church, because they were thinking of him as a brother, in the community, and a brother in faith. And then thinking, this is someone we want to back. There are complicated issues, but then sometimes things can become pretty clear and think, oh, this is someone who came over as a child and has done everything we've asked as a society and more, then we want to be on his side, you know, and make sure that he can kind of keep contributing to our community and country, and also kind of receive sort of just protection under the law, and really feel like he's welcomed as he gives. So, you know, there are tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of more examples, but I think those are the kind of people that are people like you and me who are out there in communities and making mistakes, but also doing lots of good, and part of our schools and part of our churches, part of the businesses that we go to. And I think it's a real privilege. And I think a lot of statistics back up that our country is way, way stronger. And wages are higher and our economy does better. I think it's something like 40% of our Fortune 500 companies, the biggest countries in our company, I think about 40% were started by either first or second generation immigrants. So the contributions from a small scale, like these people I mentioned, up to a big scale, like starting Google or these other huge Intel or these other huge companies, I think as a country we're richer culturally and richer economically and in so many ways because of the contributions that immigrants make to our communities.
You know, speaking of that, Kent, you one of the things that you do as you're breaking down for us the benefits of having immigrants, you mentioned the immigrant who started Google. And, you know, again, roughly 40% of our largest companies run by immigrants. And you also help us to put that in perspective by sharing with us in the book, You Welcome Me, that, yes, there is a cost to taking care of immigrants when they come here. But you also point out, and in fact, immigrants and refugees, and I like the fact that, you know, you're so comprehensive in your approach. You don't just give us just one side of the story. You let us know there is a cost, but you let us know that there's a net gain, because you point out that on a national scale over the past decade, refugees have cost the government, but they brought in $63 billion more in government revenues than they cost.
Yes, absolutely. It's the kind of thing where, especially with refugees or immigrants that are in the most trying circumstances, you think, oh, we should be willing as a country to pay a cost to receive them. And there is some cost there. But the amazing part is when we're welcoming, when we do the right thing, when we help people at a vulnerable time in their lives, there's a short-term cost to us, but the gain is incredible for us as a country. Like you said, that economic contribution of refugees is amazing contribution to our country. So we want, sometimes the political discussion can get based on fear, but I think a great way to think about it is to be trying to think about why is welcoming and the opportunities that are there for us when we do so.
Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kent Annan. He has written several books, including Slow Kingdom Coming, Aftershock, and Following Jesus Through the Eye of the Needle. We're speaking about principles included in his current book, You Welcomed Me, Loving Refugees and Immigrants Because God First Loved Us. More from our guest, yours and mine, Kent Annan, in just a few. Our only home is in